My dad was a huge part of it. He's like, he's all in your head. I mean, like, even in sports, you know, 90% of it's mental. You got to figure out a way to keep all the negative out of you. So we went into this discussion. He's like, well, you know, I could go in there and put this long rod in there and put, like, screws here, and then we could... And I literally just stopped him in his words. I cut him off and was like, no, like, let's just take it off. Now, I mean, I wake up and be like, how, like, what am I going to do with this day? How am I going to take advantage of this day? And that's like, that's been my mentality ever since. So many people along the way have helped me. And without them, 100%, I wouldn't have been here. And it's like, now it's my turn to give back. Do you want to, you know, kind of live your life out like everyone else and just do it? Or like, do you want to go on to be like what you want, something great? For me, it's always just been take advantage of the time that you have.
Welcome to the I Love Success podcast. Before we get started, I just want to say thank you for deciding to listen to this episode. Thank you for making a conscious decision to be open to learn and improve in order to lead a better life. And even though I have a big mission to help 10 million people in 10 years to achieve their dreams, right now you are the most important person to me. So please help me on my mission by being the best version of yourself, give it your all, and most importantly, don't forget to enjoy the ride. This week's guest is a new friend of mine and someone that I truly admire. For most of his life, he has dealt with medical issues. He started early in his life with a life-threatening car accident at the age of 2. Throughout his childhood, having surgeries and being diagnosed became normal. And at the age of 10, he was diagnosed with an autoimmune disorder that twice left him paralyzed from the neck down for 9 months each time. This led to multiple ankle surgeries, hip replacements, and eventually an amputation. Through this entire process, he found an inner spirit to do the things that he loved, even if he had to do them in pain. He now resides in Silverthorne, Colorado, where he is fighting for his chance to represent the U.S. in the 2022 Paralympics. His name is Brett Botello. Welcome, Brett.
Thank you. Thank you for having me here.
Yeah, I'm super, super grateful to have you here to share and honor your journey fighting for the Olympic dream. Let's start with Brett as a human being. Who are you?
I was just a young little kid growing up here in Southern California. And then kind of just living a normal childhood, you know, doing everything a boy would do, playing baseball, skateboarding, getting in trouble. And then, as you mentioned, just early age, a lot of medical issues, history of, you know, like you said, just more diagnosis just kind of came along. And I was so young and naive at the time, I didn't think much of it. But I just went through it, and it was, that's how it was. I didn't think it was that, you know, different than everyone else. But as I got older and started to figure out I couldn't do certain things, couldn't participate, like, it really kind of started to sink in. And so I just kind of, I don't know where I got it from, but it was just like, let's just get through it and get on to the next thing. And then when something else would come, it'd kind of be that. And that's all I've really known. You know, it's just like getting through one thing and doing the other. So it almost seems, as odd as it sounds, it almost seems weird to not have something going on. Yeah. But I just found ways to do different things, entertain myself, and then medicines and things like that got me back, you know, on my feet, and eventually kind of just grabbed life and said, let's go.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I wanted to ask you, so you when did you have to amputate one of your legs, or was it a conscious choice?
It was definitely a decision. I mean, we had, after I was paralyzed and I was up, and I kind of did my thing, graduated from high school, graduated from college, went, visited a few baseball stadiums. But as I was getting into my mid-20s, I'm like, this is time to become independent in life. Yeah. Like, I need to do my own thing. And so I went back to my doctor, who's out here at the time at Cedars, and was like, what's a permanent fix? We need something that's not going to, in 3 months, have to be worked on again. And so we went into this discussion. He's like, well, you know, I could go in there and put this long rod in there and put, like, screws here, and then we could... And I literally just stopped him in his words. I cut him off and was like, no, like, let's just take it off. Yeah. And he's like, honestly, that was my first thought, but I'm not going to be the one to tell you to do that. And I was like, good, we're on the same page. We know what we're going to do. Let's get this going. And for me, I had honestly thought about it for 2 years prior to having that doctor appointment. And every time I would bring it up, my parents would be like, no, that's like, that's, you won't do that. Like, that's not going to be good for you. That's not worth it. Yeah. And it came to that point where I was like, every night I'm like, I really think that, because I had been wearing these huge braces for 4 or 6 years, like it, I virtually was, didn't have use of my feet. And so I'm like, it's not going to be too much different. I know my personality. I know my determination. I know how I work. Like, I really don't think it's going to be as bad as it is for other people to get used to it. And I saw the technology. This was right after the Boston Marathon bombing. I saw how a lot of those people were getting back up as quick and how far prosthesis have come. And I'm like, these are all like positive things. And I go, I really know. And so we had definitely had some heated conversations, a lot of arguing about, you know, when it was getting close and the final decision. But same thing that my dad kept telling me is like, you have to know once you do this, like, there's no going back. Yeah. There's no like, oh, we messed up. Like, let's go back and fix it. Like, this is a decision that's going to be with you for the rest of your life. And I'm like, I know that. And I think it's going to be the best for me. And so.
How old were you at this point?
I think I was like 24.
24, so like 6 years.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe 25. Yeah. I think I was 25. So we did it on December 1st. And my doctor at the time, that was right when I was kind of getting into snowboarding a little more. And he's like, you're definitely going to miss, you know, the rest of this season. It's December. Yeah. You're going to miss this season, next season. Yeah. And then you might have a chance of getting back. So I'm thinking, like, this is 3 years before I'm back on my board. And that's not going to sit with me, like like I said. And so he did it on December 1st. And by February of that, like 2.5 months later, if not less, I was like up on the mountain. Yeah. And so like that was so satisfying for me because I'm like, did what it did. Like, I used to wake up every day saying, like, how am I going to get through this day? Is it going to be pain medicines? Is it going to be laying in bed? You know, how am I getting through this?
Yeah.
Now, I mean, I wake up and be like, how, like, what am I going to do with this day? Yeah. How am I going to take advantage of this day? And that's that, like, that's been my mentality ever since.
The thing is that I really applaud you for is taking that decision and being, and like, owning it, because it must have been such a hard decision to make. And I think maybe it was harder for your parents to see you making that decision.
I guarantee
I feel
it was.
With them, if with my kid, but also you did what was right, and only you knew how many hours you've been thinking about this, right? When you told no one. Like, all of us are contemplating our problems, right? There is just, I think that life and problems is just like an onion. It's like different layers.
Yeah.
Some people have bigger problems, some people have smaller problems, but the brain, we see it as problems that we want to solve, right?
Absolutely.
So that's amazing that you made the decision. Do you remember like when it kind of clicked, when you said, fuck, I need to do this, you know, I this is going to change my life.
I think it was never like one moment. It was just literally every day, and I like sit in my room bawling my eyes out, like, I am so much pain, I can't do anything today. Yeah. And I had, of course, I had just gotten a puppy husky. So this guy's tearing up the house. He's running everywhere, and I'm trying to take care of him and train him, and I'm like, scooting on like computer desk chairs, crawling, like just to get him out to go to the bathroom. And I'm like, this is like something that I wanted, and I want to be able to like enjoy my life with him. Like, this is not like, and I just, every day was in pain. And that was like, it just consciously verified my decision. Yeah. But once I set the date, we set it in like mid-October, and it wasn't until December. And so those month and a half, 2 months was mentally the most like challenging thing. Cause physically, like when I had my hip replacement, that was the most painful surgery I've ever been through. So invasive and so much work was done. But this, it was just like, I'm not worried about the pain. Like, I've dealt with that. It's like, I have to keep telling myself, like my dad told me, he's like, there's no going back. Like, and I had to keep sticking that in my brain because there wasn't. And, I mean, it wasn't like no climactic event or anything. I remember coming home the night before I had it done. I was just like, I was definitely nervous. Yeah. I mean,
Is that the same type of nervousness before a big competition, or is it a different?
It's different.
Yeah.
Like, competition, like, you get butterflies, you know, like, once I get going, I'm good, I'm doing my thing. But this was just, like, sort of the unknown, but just, like, this is the biggest decision I'm going to make in my life.
Yeah.
One of the biggest decisions. And so, I mean, it was just, we watched a movie that night, like, woke up, and the next morning, drove down there, and I was just laying there, and I just, the one thing both me and my dad said to the doctor, because it was the first surgery of the day, like, 6 a.m., something like that.
Yeah.
I told him, I go, you get sleep last night? You ready to roll? And he's like, yep, we're good.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, that was really it, and the healing time, we were just waiting for the cut to basically heal, and then it was go time, but...
Is the pain gone now?
There's no pain. No pain.
That's awesome.
That's the best thing about it. Like I said, I wake up every day. I'm like, what am I doing today? How am I going to help someone? How am I going to, like, take this day and take advantage of it? And so that's been the biggest thing for me. It takes me 30 seconds to get it on. Yeah. And I'm like, all right, let's go.
Yeah.
Like, you don't have to worry about any of that. That was the biggest relief, you know, just knowing that, you know. But it was weird getting used to. Definitely, it was weird. I couldn't look at it.
Yeah.
I knew it wasn't there,
but
I couldn't look at it for about a month.
Yeah.
I just always had to have a pillow and a blanket, something. I didn't want to just see it. You know, even now when I think about it, I'm taking a shower and I'm like, it's really not there. I mean, I don't like consciously think about it, but it definitely still comes up. And I remember the first time I saw it was actually the day after. So it was still, everything was fresh. We were getting back into the car, from the hospital going home, and I had a pillow on it, but transferring into the car, it fell off, and it hit me right there so hard, and I just, like, in the middle of the parking lot was like, what the fuck did I just do? And I lost it, and then my dad came over, and he's like, we talked about this, there's no going back. And really, that was, it needed that reinforcement that you've made the right decision, there's no going back now, let's take charge and let's just go. And after that, like, I cooled down, and since then, it's never really bothered me.
Yeah. I think, you know, that it's so crazy how life happens, you know, and it's also so incredible that in a way you were born in this era, because if this would have been many years ago,
there'd be no treatment for it.
Yeah, it's a lot of things has to align, and now you are here. And you want to go for the Olympics, you know, you're an athlete. And can we just talk about that? What does it mean for you to be in the mountains and snowboard?
I mean, it's just, it takes me away from all the crap in the world and crap in my life, the stuff that still goes on and the stuff I still deal with. I mean, my body's been beat up bad and there's still pain, but I'm like, this is what it is. I mean, I think the best time for me on a mountain is when it's dumping snow and I'm on the chairlift, you can hear a pin drop. It's so quiet and peaceful, and it's just snow-covered trees. I mean, you just get lost in it, and it's like, that's what does it. And when I'm not in competition, like, no one can tell you where to go, what to do. Like, you're free. You can go take whatever line you want. You just, and that's what I love about it. It's like, no one's dictating what it is, and that's like the pure joy of it, the pureness of snowboarding. And then but then you get into every man has it, everyone has it, you love competition, you want that adrenaline, and so then we just, you know, we take that side of snowboarding and go with it.
I agree with you, and I remember the quote Maya Angelou said what she thinks about when she goes on stage, and she said, like, I come as one, but I stand as 10,000. Mm-hmm. And I think it's so powerful, like, all these people that help you on your way.
Yes.
That, and to never forget that, because without those people...
Yeah, no chance.
No chance, right?
Yeah.
And I think that's part of... That's why I love meeting with athletes, because we all know, okay, you're an individual athlete, but you have to be part of a team to be able to do something. And I think the same goes for life, right?
Oh, yes.
I used to think that I should and can do most things myself, but then I learned if you go alone, you're going to go fast, but if you want to go far, you need to go together with people, you know?
Yes. That's something huge I talked about and tell everyone, is like, put yourself around good people.
Yeah.
Find a good support system that you're there for them, they're there for you. And like, it don't have to be big. It could be 2-3 guys or whatever. But you surround yourself with good people and good things are going to happen.
Yeah.
So that's like something I strongly live by is like, anything negative, I don't want to be a part of it.
Yeah. But it takes a certain strength to be able to cut that out.
Oh, it does. And there was times where I have had past friendships and relationships where I'm like, this isn't like, it was fun while it lasted.
Yeah.
In the short year, 2 years that we know each other, but
it's not
going to do me any good to just hang around and do this. Yeah. Like, it's not going to enhance my life. It's not going to take me to where I want to go. And so, I definitely had to cut ties at times, and it's not the easiest, but when I think back, I was like, that was a good decision I made. Yeah. If I would have stayed around, it would have just held me down and kept me from doing what I had the potential to do.
Yeah, I agree with you. And there's, you know, there's limiting beliefs that we all have, right? And things that we tell ourselves, and we can change that through affirmations and things like that. But there's also limiting beliefs that other people put on us, right?
Yeah.
And I think those people we shouldn't be around.
No.
And of course, it's hard to get away from all of them. And you probably have some in your team that is like your immediate competition that is handling things in a different way because of insecurity. I know I met a lot of athletes that were handling things very bad because they thought they were making me worse by saying crazy things.
Mm-hmm.
But it only made them worse because it's their limiting beliefs and insecurities. Because if we look at the best athletes, the absolute top, they're usually pretty chill, right?
Yeah.
So what's your opinion about limiting beliefs? Do you have any limiting beliefs in your life, and how do you work or have worked with those?
I don't think so much. I mean, like you said, you learn from everyone, you take it in, but anything people say or like, you know, direct towards me that like is negative, I just try to block it out and then take it and use it as fuel.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, I've had more people tell me that I can't do it than I should have.
Yeah.
Or if some people don't.
Who said that to you?
Just people.
Yeah.
Like around. They're like, yeah, like doctors, mainly doctors. Not so much friends or family, but doctors. Like, you'll never walk.
How did you handle that?
Well, at the time, I believed him because it was like that. But it's like, you'll never walk. You'll never run. Like, you aren't going to be able to be active. Like, and then now I'm just like, who's to tell me? Like, you aren't in control of my life. Like, anyone who tells me, oh, you aren't going to be able to whatever, it's like, we'll see when the time comes. Like, I'm going to just let you say whatever you want now, but you don't have control of my life. Like, I'm going to take this and prove you wrong, you know, even more. And so,
Did that give you fuel?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
So many times, especially the first doctor who did one of my hip surgeries, he goes, unfortunately, he was an older man.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, you know, you aren't going to be able to walk. You'll never run again. And this is when I was like 9. I'm like in the middle of competitive baseball. And so I remember after he told me all that, I worked. I got back to playing baseball.
Yeah.
And I came back in with like a player of the game ball at the time. Yeah. And I was like, here you go. And just kind of left it at that. And I think a lot of times some people don't necessarily take me too serious.
Yeah.
They're like, you've talked about all this, but like, we haven't really seen it.
Yeah.
And I think they're starting to see it now.
Yeah.
And, you know, what I'm doing and that I'm actually pursuing this and we're seeing results and like the plans are going kind of how I told them were.
Yeah.
And so I think now they're like, oh, like, he kind of wasn't kidding around. Like, I'm like, you've known me for a decent amount of time. Like, did you expect anything less?
Yeah.
Like, did you expect me to just roll over? Like, that's never been my MO, so.
I know, I think it's about, there's a book called The Slight Edge where they talk about, like, about 1 in 20 is actually the people that are accomplishing their goals. They're going after them. They're really living this good life. And I think we are used to meeting so much people that are selling themselves short in a way, right? Because I think we can do most things, right? We can't guarantee that you're gonna win the Olympics, but we can guarantee that you can do every fucking preparation for the Olympics.
Right.
And if everything aligns on that day, you're going to win, right?
Yeah.
That's on you and your team. But so many times we sell ourselves short. We start believing in everything else. Like, I'm from this place. I don't have enough money. Right. I have had to amputate one of my legs. Like, there's so many things that we can tell ourselves. And, like, your strength and mindset is amazes me. Where does that come from, man?
I think it all stems from, like, the medical thing. Like, I've just had to have that strength and mindset of, like, okay, I got to get through this. Like, I got to do this in order to do this. And so, yeah, just having to do that is just, like, and it's something that I had a lot of trouble and issues with about, I don't even know how long, like 10 years, 12 years ago. I struggled with, like, my mind and my thoughts, like, all the time. And I just have found little things that, like, you know, help me here and there, like, get overcome things. And a lot of, I think what kind of made me realize it was after my amputation, I put up, like, a little mural almost of, like, 10 pictures of, like, big moments in my life, like snowboarding in Montana with my brother, to good times with my four best friends, to being with my dog, my family. And that was the first thing I saw and the last thing I went to bed. And in between, when I was waiting for my prosthetic to be made and all that and I was healing, I would take probably an hour or more out of the day and just sit there and visualize. Just close my eyes and be like, where do I want to be when this gets here? Mm-hmm. And for writing, I would literally play over the day, the first day that I was going to go back on the mountain, from driving, from getting in the car at my house, driving to the mountain, getting out of the car, getting my gear on, taking the lift up, and like every piece of that. Yeah. And I would play it over and over and just literally see myself doing it. And when I did it, it was like, this is almost like, it was that easier, you know?
Familiar,
and so,
yeah.
And so that's what I do with a lot of things, and just really just hone in on like the mind and how to control it. Yeah. But it's not easy. I mean, I still, like you said, to have things kind of hold you back, I still struggle with things. Like, I mean, I'm not back here often. Yeah. When I am, I have three or four friends that we've grown up since we've been in diapers. Like, we have lived on the same street. We knew each other. We played baseball. We've done everything together. And so I always, like, if I'm here and it's, even if it's out of the way, it's like, I'm going to go see them. And when I started this season, I knew I'd be back multiple times because events and one of them was having a child. And so I knew there'd be things, reasons to come back. And yesterday I saw him and I'm like, I don't know when I'll be back, honestly. Like, I don't have any reason almost to come out here, like, obviously to see you, but trying to save for, you know, competing and things like that, and then doing this, like, that's going to take a big chunk too. And so, man, I lost it so much yesterday. I was just seeing him, and I'm like, of course, babies bring all the emotions.
Yeah.
Brought his kid there. I'm like, man, like, this is absolutely devastating. And, you know, they're, like I said, that's my support system. And they're like, no, we support everything you're doing. You're going to go out there, and you're going to kill it. You're going to do what you said you did. And, you know, when we see each other, it's not gonna be, we aren't gonna skip a beat or anything. I'm like, 100% all that's true, but it just sucks.
I know, and
it just sucks not being able to like see the people that I've grown up with now, like starting their own lives. You know,
it's a sacrifice for every person who wants to do something with their life. We forget to talk about this because we see the Olympic champions and we see the world medalists and we see the Brad Pitts of the movies and the Lady Gagas of the music, and we think it comes easy, you know?
Yeah.
It's been a long fucking journey.
It has, and people, like, some of it who, especially who kind of been through it as well, they get it. They see the behind the scenes. But a lot of people, like you say, they see the photos, just like social media. You see the photos, you don't see what's behind the photos, you know? And so, but yeah, I mean, it's definitely been, you know, a grind, and it's been a struggle. Like, it's, you do, especially when you're so invested in something, and it's like there's a time limit, there's a time frame, you are sacrificing a lot.
Yeah.
Like, you give up a lot to do that. And it's just, that's a choice.
Yeah.
Exactly what it is. It's a choice. It's like, do you want to, you know, kind of live your life out like everyone else and just do it? Or like, do you want to go on to be like what you want, something great? And you're going to sacrifice for sure. There's going to be bridges you might burn, relationships you might lose, like lose contact with people. But you just try to keep those all to a minimum and just remember your purpose of being out there.
Yeah, that's awesome, man.
Yeah.
And the last question is something that I ask all my guests, because we're all about sharing stories. But at the end of the day, when we're done, we want them to get started, to get a little bit closer to their dream, just right. like you have, and I have a dream. So what would be the first thing they should do when they're done with this podcast to get a little bit closer to what they want?
First, you got to find what you want. And then once you do that, I mean, start small. And for me, it's always just been take advantage of the time that you have. You know, we get so caught up in social media or things that may not be the most productive for us. But if there's something you really want, take advantage of that, because life is that fragile. Like, you could get in your car and something bad could happen. You can wake up one day and go to the doctor and something terrible comes. So, like I said earlier, like, I don't know how, like, long my body's going to tell me you can keep doing this, but I know I feel good today. Yeah. And so take advantage of that day. And then if you feel good the next day, take advantage of that day. And you just keep building on it. And then I always tell everyone, just never give up on hope. Like, as long as you have hope, like, that's probably the most powerful thing, is if you have hope that today, if you're in a bad spot or a down situation, that tomorrow's going to be better, like, you're in a good place. And so, but yeah, just take advantage of the times that you feel good, you're in a good position, just really thrive on those.
Brett, thank you so much, man. It's been an amazing
time
here with you.
Yeah, I appreciate you having me out here. Thank you.
Yeah, we're honored to share your journey, and we are honored to follow your journey during these 4 years as you are fighting for the Olympic dream. And I truly believe in you. And if there's any way we can support you, let us know. And I want to also thank everybody that listened to this episode. And if you like what we do, first of all, connect with Brett. Can I find you on social media?
Yeah, so Instagram, my handle is just the first letter of my name, B, and my last name, Botello.
Yeah.
And then the number 10. I think there's a picture of me snowboarding probably on it. Awesome. But and then Facebook is just my name.
Yeah.
And so everything's open. I mean, I've already wrote a book. I'm an open book. Like, yeah. I'm not trying to hide anything. So if you want to come along for the journey and see what it's all about, like, feel free to.
Thank you. And also, if you like what I do and what I'm trying to put out in the world, I know to be able to reach 10 million people, I can't do this myself. I need guys like Brett, but I also need you that are listening to this to help me grow my audience and to create this amazing tribe of people that want to do something good. So please review this podcast in iTunes and also share it with someone that you think will benefit from this conversation that we have here today. You can also check out ilovesuccess.co, where I have amazing conversations with more than 100 people that have been on the podcast. I have my book, the Gold Book, where you get a couple of free chapters. And there's so many tools, because we're all about sharing, we're all about giving, so that you could live the life that you want to live. That's it for today. Go out in the world and do something with your life. Thank you, guys.